Welcome to this service of Plymouth Presbyterian Church in St. Helens, Oregon. This is from the March 31st, 2024 service at Plymouth, Easter Sunday. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. The sermon will be delivered by Pastor Peter Blank. Yesterday, we thought death had won. Yesterday, we thought all was lost. Yesterday, we thought Christ was gone.
But not today. Not today. Today, we know that love has won. Today, we know that hope is real. Today, we know that Christ is here.
We have a reason to hope.
We have a reason to sing.
Alleluia.
Alleluia.
Christ is risen today. Next is the hymn, Christ the Lord is risen today.
Let us sing from hymn number 31, just verse 3, because Hark the Herald Angels Sing is not just for Christmas any longer.
Thank you.
From the book of the Psalms. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. The Lord is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. There are glad songs of victory in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has punished me severely, but he did not give me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Next is the hymn, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing.
It has been that song, Come Thou Fount, that has been our theme song through the weeks of Lent. And for us, our Lent study will not conclude with today being Easter, but will continue for the next 2 weeks as we carry on looking at the life of Peter, both coming up to the death on the cross for our Lord, as well as the resurrection, even to the ascension into heaven. And so you'll see my sermon today pulls a phrase from our hymn that we just sang, Here's My Heart. I turn to Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. Very familiar text for us. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly, two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee? that the Son of Man must be handed over to the hands of sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again. Then they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all of this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them to be an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. If you and I think of something and then speak of it, we can make those things real. Whether it's a dream that we've had or whether it's a thought or an idea, but by speaking it aloud, it takes on a reality. Saying things aloud is important. It is how we communicate to one another. We can think, oh, I care for you, but it is important for us to express that care to each other. Put it into words and make it real. It's how things are named. It's how justice is celebrated and oppressive systems are called out. They are named for what they are. And part of the work of the church, the people of God, is to name out loud the places in our world where the power of the resurrection is needed. That's right, Harold. But equally important is the work of church to name out loud those saints who have gone before us, those who have directed our gaze toward those places. In many African American traditions, saying names out loud is a way to give honor, especially to those who are marginalized, those who are disinherited, ignored, or whose testimony has been dismissed as simply idle talk. And so this Easter Sunday, we honor a group of women and we name them out loud. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, mother of James, Mary, mother of James, and the other women whose names we do not know. Today we honor their testimony. We celebrate it. And most importantly, we trust it. The story of Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women who we do not know their names begin with two verbs, come and find. They come to the tomb, weary with weeping, weighed down by grief, but they don't allow their sadness to distract them from the holy task that they have at hand. They are there to anoint their teacher's lifeless body. They brought costly spices, and they probably purchased them just so they could do this for Jesus. It is Jesus and his disciples that were depending on that work. They come and they find. They come to the tomb and find that the stone's been rolled away. And not only do they find the stone rolled away, but they find no body in the tomb once they look inside. Which brings us to the second verb. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women who we do not know their names, know they become perplexed. What had happened? Has that body been stolen? They look to each other, speechless. They feel the hair on the back of their neck standing up because they know that something's happened here, but what is it? As adrenaline kicks in to course through their veins. And then Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and the other women who we do not know their names, are terrified. They're terrified because now two strangers appear, two messengers in dazzling clothes appear out of nowhere. Were these the ones who stole Jesus' body? Were these the ones who they've come to say goodbye to their loved one and have taken him? I could see Joanna throwing her body at the messengers and the others grasping at her saying, no, no, leave them alone. Don't react like that. In desperation and fear, they must have done something when they saw the strangers. Then Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women whose names we do not know, not in homage or respect, but in fear and anger. Fear and anger to do that to you, they bring you down, they weigh you down, they fear as they gaze upon the pink and orange sky as the early morning. And then the messengers speak to them. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Strange question. Because when people die, they stay dead. But he's not here. They say he's risen. And then they give the women a new verb. They invite them, even implore them, to cast aside their perplexing reaction, their terror and fear, their bowing, and to try a new verb on for size. They say, remember. Remember. Remember what he said. Remember when he said that he would be crucified and then rise again? Remember, because sometimes the world wants us to forget. And so they do remember. And their remembering gives them two more verbs, return and tell. So Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women whose names we do not know return to the disciples. They return to the men because they have a truth that needs to be shared. And that last verb the women get in this passage is the most important of all. Tell. Tell the story. Tell the story that you've come to the tomb, it's empty. The messengers are there. It isn't some cruel joke. He is risen. Jesus is full of life once again. He's not dead, he is alive. That's right, Harold. He is alive. They don't believe the women's testimony. Their reaction is to cast it aside. And I don't often turn to the actual translation and try and bring the Greek that they spoke into, or that is written in, into English. But here it's important that I do so. They consider the women's testimony, the news that Jesus is risen, as leros. It's a word that isn't often used in our New Testament, but now over the centuries, Bible translators, and I think most of them are men, I think I would guess that, but they have found it prudent to soften the English translation of this. And so they call it, in our Bibles, idle talk, or sometimes it's translated as foolish chatter. They've dismissed it as one or both of those. Other times, leros is translated as nonsense or even humbug. But I like the original translation, the original word and its impact more. It's much more crude than that. And a more accurate modern translation might be, it's BS. Yep, bull excrement. That's right. Bring a little Star Wars into it. That's poodoo, okay? The men say to Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and the mother of James, and the other women whose names we do not know. This is BS. You all are hysterical. You and your leros need to pick up those spices and go anoint, and be sure that you anoint this very dead body of Jesus. So let's be very clear. And Harold, I want you listening to every detail in this. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women whose names we do not know, did not go to strangers first. They went to their friends. They went to their colleagues. These people who knew them better than anyone else in the world. And it was these people, upon hearing their news that he is risen, they dismissed it. They said, your words are nothing more than a load of poodoo. And the disciple, Peter, is with them, and later he will run to the tomb and wonder about its emptiness. but then go home. And you and I, we don't have to look too far to see places in our world where the testimony of women and girls on the margins are dismissed in the most vulgar ways. Think back some while. Television talk show host impugning the impeccable credentials of Supreme Court Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson. It happened. A former president telling a teenage climate activist Greta Thunberg to chill because her anger management problem. Or the doctor who dismissed the pain of their patient, a woman of color named Rosalind Lewis, who, like so many others like her, suffer medical malpractice because of her race. These people and many more are dismissed. Countless numbers of women and girls whose names are too many to name out loud in a sermon. They don't get the benefit of the doubt that their abusers are so quickly afforded. All of these injustices replicate themselves when testimony is buried, or better yet said, entombed. But the beauty of Christ's resurrection is that it demands those of us who dare to call ourselves Jesus' followers that we unearth such testimony and give it its day in court when those who have been oppressed need justice. Now, most of you know that I'm the father of two young women. My twin daughters, Sarah, Hannah, they're now 34 years old as of March 6th. There may come a day when one or both of them count on me to entrust me with a story that is so important that I'll have to choose between what makes sense and what is real. And you know what? When that moment comes, I do not want to be like the men in this passage. I do not want to live a bull excrement life. Do you? I don't want to live my life so buried in cynicism that I will close my eyes to the imperishable love of God. I don't want my life so wrapped up in my privilege that I don't receive the good news of the resurrection for someone who doesn't look like me, Harold, or talk like me, or love like me, or vote like me. I don't want to live a poodoo life, a wandering faith life. I want to live a life with the transforming justice of God, a love that refuses to be buried, refuses to be dismissed. I want to live a life where I don't have to understand something to trust it. I'm not here today to explain to you the resurrection itself. And even if I could, I really don't want to, because in trying to explain it and put it into words, I probably will take all the beauty out of it. I know I'll take out the mystery in it. I'm here simply to pass on the story. He is risen. And I'm here because of a testimony of a group of women. By now you know their names: Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women whose names we do not know. Those women, they have something to say. And we have a choice to make. We can live a bull excrement type of life and dismiss what they say as foolishness. The truth of the resurrection, when it comes around from the margins, and by the way, this kind of truth usually does come through from the margins. Or we can learn from the foolishness of the men in today's passage, and we can respond differently. We can respond with curiosity to what is God up to in the world? How is God troubling the waters? How is God dividing the seas that stand between our neighbors and the justice of God that God has mothered into the world from the tomb? Here's my heart. Lord, take and seal it.
A solo Lamb of God will be performed by Patricia Ayerza. Next is the hymn, I Danced in the Morning.
Thank you. May you look for God in every face. May you find the courage to get out of the boat, to run to the tomb, to speak of your faith. And when the world falls apart, may you hear God's voice deep within saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. You are called. You are blessed. In both your ups and downs, you always belong to God. Go now in peace. Go trusting that good news. He is risen. Yes, he is risen indeed. Amen."